Now we have Joanna Kerr in the program. Joanna is now presently in Oxfam, Canada, but she was the previous coordinator or secretary general or executive whatever. Now she's the executive director. I gave that title to Mavic in the International Tribune Center. But you, our listeners, know that I do that. I give people the titles they don't have. And if they don't have them, I invent them because they should have them. So I'm very glad that you were executive director of AWID before. And I would like, Joanna, you to bring our audience, not so much to the meeting now, which the other women did, but with your historical perspective about being in AWID for so many years, more than a decade, to be able to give to the audience like a historical trip throughout time, what are the changes that have happened in AWID and the challenges that we have all have faced now? And welcome to FIRE one more time.
I'm so thrilled to be back in the fireplace. I've enjoyed the warmth of this space in Beijing, in other forums, in UN spaces. The power of the radio, the work that FIRE does is really a model in terms of movement building and how many activists now look to FIRE, really, in terms of what you've been able to achieve and how you do it. And certainly, having just sat at the Feminist Tech Exchange yesterday, was it only yesterday?
No,
3 days. No, anyway, that to see that, but it finished yesterday, yes, to see how many activists are now getting engaged in community radio. It seems more than ever. But yes, I think back to 1993. You know, AWID was created in, well, let's go back. It was created in 1982. And the brilliant American women who came together, who recognized that there was a need to bring a women's perspective, not a feminist perspective, but a women's perspective into international development. And so a voluntary group of women pulled together the first forum in 1982. They had no money. And how many people showed up? 700 people showed up. On their own money, they all came together. These meetings were all in the United States back in the 80s. And they recognized at that moment that there was a demand and a real desire to engage in issues of international development and women's empowerment. And so every 2 years, a forum was held. And slowly, slowly, a little bit more money came in. Still, the organization completely run by volunteers, no staff. A little bit of money could bring a few women from the Global South to the event. But primarily, the forums were professional white women, middle-class women, working in universities, working for USAID, working for the World Bank, many of them academics who did research, quote, unquote, on women in Africa. They had research subjects that were African women. Some of it was very much different than the politics that we have now. And I can remember attending the forum in 1993 in Washington, D.C. The keynote speakers were from the World Bank and from USAID, and they were men. And it was a very institutionalized approach to what we then called women in development that was trying to shift. And then Beijing happened, and none of us could be the same. We knew where the leadership was coming from. I came onto the board in 1996. There were two of us international board members. I come from Canada, and I was considered an international board member. And there was Magali Pineda from Dominican Republic. She was the other international board member. And there we were pushing for an internationalization of this organization. To cut a long story short, 2000, I was able to take on the role as executive director, and the conditions for me to take over was that we blow this organization wide open. We had to be explicitly feminist. We had to be working in three languages, no less. We needed to get ourselves out of the United States. And from that moment on was the beginning of a radical transformation. Young women took over this space. Women from the Global South took over this space. So in 2000, there was 800 members. 70% of them were North American. Now, I don't know how many AWID members there are, maybe 10,000 or so, primarily in the Global South. A third of the members are young women. Here we are, 2008, opening plenary. There's no World Bank. There is no USAID. My God, we have a Lebanese lesbian talking about cunts. So how much more of a radical transformation could an organization undergo? And I wept. I wept to see an organization, really a movement, a very, very different moment. It's history. It's history is being made. And I'm just so proud. I'm thrilled.
It's indeed very exciting. The speakers this morning were very energetic and challenging all of us to move forward about integration, integrating agendas and moving forward with this radicalness. And I was also very struck by the panel of the African feminists. Because, you know, many people still in the world say that it's so hard to be a feminist in Africa. And indeed, it is hard to be a feminist anywhere with this patriarchal system getting so much more gung-ho about war and about globalization of capitalism and so on. To be a lesbian and to be a feminist in Africa is really something. And to hear the feminists this morning from Africa saying why they are feminist. And it really had a big resonance because basically what they said, that it is the feminist movement, the movement in the world that allows for people, especially women, to have to include our own daily practice as part of the political activism, and that challenges you and supports you in being able to have transformative self-development also. And I was really moved by that because really when you think of the many women here that came from progressive movements, from peace movements, from the left, from all kinds of movements, and to really assess how this is the movement where we have been able to be challenged personally into growing also as a human being, not only speaks for the subjective and personal dimension of an agenda, but also shatters the assumption that feminists are those women that really could care less about people's growth.
Yeah. And we were also talking this morning, I was at a session on HIV/AIDS and women with disabilities. And I was very excited to see that the room was full. And I can also think back, you know, to meetings 5 years ago. When disability issues are discussed, you will have a sprinkling of disability activists and you'll be able to visibly see that there are women with disabilities in the room. But you don't have other actors in that space. And so I actually asked some of the disability activists there, I said, do you see a sea change? Do you see the ways in which our movements are becoming far more inclusive and the ways in which disability rights are taken in much more integrally? And they said, absolutely, something is happening. Something is happening. But in the context of African feminism, I mean, to hear, I hope you'll have on your program, if you haven't already, some of the women behind the African Feminist Forum and that process. I mean, what a model, what a lesson it is for any of us, any part of the world, what they have been able to do to bring feminist discourse back in such a strong political and strategic way, the way are they are building relationships and trust across countries, across region, with so much humor, with so much strength. I mean, to hear about the last African feminist forum that they just held in Uganda, where they put feminists on trial, where feminists were accused of all these crimes, including irrelevance and becoming too professionalized and not connecting to grassroots women and excluding certain minorities. And it was fantastic to hear how on some of these crimes they were found guilty, on others they were acquitted. I mean, that this is the kind of engagement, of honest engagement with the politics and the way we need to reinvigorate our movements, that this is coming from this continent where so many people think that African feminism is so far behind. If in the reverse, this is, you know, they are leading so many of us far ahead.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing that, because also it's not by chance that this conference has been has taken place in Africa, precisely because what we have to also learn from the feminist movement and the women's movement here in Africa. I would like you to address the challenges that we have as a feminist movement looking at the context in today's world.
Yeah, the challenges are lofty as ever, but I don't think they are any worse than they have ever been. I think there's a financial crisis that is hiding behind. It hasn't hit us. And I think the conversations we're having now about the financial crisis, we don't really know how it's going to impact. But I'll just tell you, my own organization, Oxfam, they're planning for a 10 to 30% cut. So think of the trickle down in terms of what that means. You know, Oxfam is considered, you know, one of the top five funders to women's organizations around the world. So imagine the impact of that kind of cut. We hope it's not true. We really, really hope it's not true. But let's just be not naive. And we also know that under financial, you know, crunch, good things can emerge. We can, you know, let's take some lessons from the Argentinian financial crisis. You talk to Argentinians now, and they will tell you that was one of the best things that ever happened to them in terms of the growth of new social movements. The way they've reorganized their financial markets, the way there's far more transparency in terms of their economic system than there ever was before. So it's not to say that these crises that happen in front of us can't potentially produce big things. But I do want to say that this is a particular challenge, vis-a-vis funding for our movement, but also in terms of entrenching poverty in ways that we might not be fully aware of yet. The food crisis, again, the climate crisis, the rise of China, new geopolitical restructuring. Those are the things that, because we talk about the rise of fundamentalisms, we talk about the rise of militarization, but there are geopolitical shifts that are happening, but also interesting geopolitical shifts. The rise of Brazil, South Africa, Mexico, middle-income countries, and of course China and India. These are very powerful political forces on the international stage, and they are taking they are attacking Western-dominated, you know, how the G8 has controlled the economic agenda. So we are going to be seeing, you know, new political forces. But overall, I would say in this particular region, let's talk about what's happening here. You know, HIV, and the intensity of this HIV and AIDS and the intensity of this pandemic, the impunity of governments in terms of truly addressing the needs of women, of bringing in violence against women as a fundamental cause of HIV, but not addressing also the violence against women who are HIV positive. The impunity, the corruption, the irresponsibility of governments around the world who are not taking on HIV as fast as they need to be doing. You have a crisis in democracy. A crisis in democracy from Nicaragua to South Africa to Zimbabwe, take Ethiopia, where they are now telling NGOs that if they get any more than 10% of their funding from domestic sources, they are considered an international NGO, and therefore they cannot be doing any human rights work. So there is new repressions coming upon us at every single day. But to end on a happier note, our movements are also in backlash. There is a feminist backlash to this repression. You know, as we've heard our sisters say, we have to remember our physics lesson. Wherever there's a reaction, there's another reaction back. We are in a feminist backlash right now. Of course there's 2,200 women, if not more, who could be here. There are thousands more watching the webcast, listening to the radiocast, who are part of an ever-growing movement to address these major, major challenges.
Thank you very much. It's really great to hear you and to have you here with bringing that historical perspective. I hope that you can join us again. I want to thank you very much for coming on this first broadcast. It's always an honor and a pleasure to have you on FIRE.
And thank you, FIRE, for doing the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Joanna Kerr, who is at the present in Oxfam, Canada, and was the executive director of AWIT before. Thank you very much.